Okay, we're in Piska Nun Vav 56 in Enaya, where Rav Kook is continuing to explain the Agarata from Tana Debe Eliyahu of the student who learned a lot of Torah and a lot of Mishnah and a lot of Talmud and nevertheless died in the middle of life, died at a young age. And his wife went around with his tefillin to all the Batei Midrash, asking, Tzadik Viralo, how's it possible that bad things happen to great good people? My husband was such a scholar, such a tzadik.
Did he check his tefillin?
And then they asked him, they asked her, how careful were you in the mitzvot, beno levena, in Tarat Mishpacha, in the family purity? And it turns out that they were careful on the laws, but not regarding the siyagim, the rabbinical fences around the Torah laws. And that's how they explain why he died. And there's a lot to explain here. Rav Kook, and what we're going to learn now, spends the piska on the term umet bechatzi yamav. That I think if any of us were wording the Gemara, we would say that he died at a young age.
Right.
What does it mean, the term, he died in the half of his life, in the middle of life? What does that literally mean? What's the idea behind it? Rav Kook explains as follows. Yamav shel adam omdim lichalek lechatzain. A person's life can be divided into two stages. Hamechza rishona, the first half of life, tzarichu lishtalim le'atzmo, is meant to develop yourself. Bigidulo agufani ve'achumri, to develop yourself physically, monetarily, economically, to base yourself. Ve'achar kach haTorani, afterwards to build yourself in learning Torah, religiously, ha'iyuni v'amusari, to become a good person, learning values. In other words, the first half of life is to build yourself. Hamechza Ashniya, the second half of life, Omnam Ra'ui Kvar Sheyachil Lashpia Al Mashechutzlo. That's when a person should begin influencing those outside of himself. Which is interesting, because we know Rav Kook writes a lot about giving, about klaliyut, about the importance of nationalism, of breaking out of one's self-centeredness. And here, he's telling us that the first half of life, you're meant to develop yourself. And
get married later as well.
It's interesting that he's talking about halves. Now, I don't think he, you know, the... it's actually not David HaMelech, it's Moshe Rabbeinu in Tehillim. One of the chapters of Tehillim, Tefillah LeMoshe, a lot of people don't notice that was written by Moshe, not David, says, Yimesh notenu shivim shana vim bigvorot shmonim shana. And we know also a couple generations before when Paro turns to Yaakov, who is all of 120 years at the time, and says, wow, you're really old, old man, how old are you? That people didn't live that long in those days. And so, say we're talking about in the times of the Talmud, they probably lived even less. So say we're talking about somebody living 70 years old, the first half of his life, about 35 years, should be spent on developing yourself, learning a career, learning Torah, before you start watering others. That's something that I might have mentioned once. I once asked Rav Simcha Kook, the chief rabbi of Rehovot. We were together, and I was 27, 28 at the time, and I asked him, you know, I'm getting, you know, offers to teach in different places. How does a yeshiva boy know when it's time to go out and teach and lecture, you know? Because your whole life they're teaching you, develop yourself, learn more and more, another masechta, another perek, build yourself. So how do you know when it's time? So he mentioned the name of Rav Kook. He gave the example of a sponge. That a sponge, you water it until it gets a certain point of saturation where that's when it starts overflowing by itself. And he said if a person begins getting requests to teach, that's a sign that people have, you have something that people want. So it's obviously Rav Kook isn't talking here in terms of the number of years, but in general, and there's something very, very important. So often young people, especially in modern day where youth movements are so strong and so important, right, the land of Israel was built by youth movements, and thank God it's now Chodesh Ergun. What would we do without youth movements? And everybody knows that the best way to keep kids off the street and to get into good, healthy, constructive activities
off the street and onto the hills
is youth movements. So on the one hand, we have 16, 17-year-olds who are already madrichim, and they're teaching, and they get it into their head, and we encourage them, yes, you have what to give, and don't be selfish, and don't... And on the other hand, as soon as they get to the age of 18, 19, and they get to yeshiva, then we start telling them, no, you got to build yourself first, and the kids get confused, right? Because you're telling them, give, 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 and it's true, right? Because sachal at the age of 16, 17, if they're not going to be giving as madrichim, they're going to be spending the time on the basketball court or on the computer. So it's not really a question of giving at the expense of building yourself. And it is important to get a kid used to giving. On the other hand, this idea of having the time to build yourself so that you have what to give to others is something very, very important. And Rav Kook is medayeket here on the idea that the first half of life, where this student died after the first half, and we'll see what Rav Kook does with that, that is the time where you're supposed to build yourself. Hamechtza hashniya omnam ra'ui kvar sheyachil la'ashpia al ma shechutzlo. That's when the time is to break out of your self-centeredness, to give, to influence others. La'nik mituvo, to give of your goodness, that which you've built over the first half of your life, to give over to those who are younger than you. So that just like you got from your teachers, that's the idea of tradition, the idea of Kabbalah, of receiving from the previous generation, so too the previous generation has to have from who to get. Right? If everyone is just busy learning their own Torah, we're not going to get anywhere. That's what Chazal stress, and we say it every morning in tefillah. One of the greatest, at least for me, everyone has their favorite tefillah. My favorite tefillah, at least at this stage in life, is Ahava Rabba Avtanu, which talks about also Am Yisrael, also love of Torah, also Eretz Yisrael, V'tolichenum kom yitli Eretzenu, the chosenness of Am Yisrael. And when we say that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lishmor, Lilmod, Ulilamed, Lishmor, V'lasot, Ulkayim. And all of them apparently are equally important, to learn and to teach and to follow the mitzvot. And all of them, Chazal say that there's no comparison between learning and learning in order to teach. And anybody who's in chinuch knows that. Because if you know...
In order to teach, in order to practice, in other words, halacha should be your compass when you learn and teach.
Correct. Okay. Everybody knows that when you have to, you know that you have to give something over. Even Balabas, right? Anybody who listens to the rabbi's drasha, because he wants to have a dvar Torah to say at the shulchan, at the Shabbos table, right? You know that you're focusing, right? You're remembering what was his first point, second point, what was his question, what was his answer? Okay, there were 3 points. And you really make a concentrated effort to organize it and to remember it. There's no comparison between that than when you're still listening to a rabbi's drasha, which usually goes in one ear, and the Mikra Tov maybe a little stays in...
if you don't fall.
Remember it was Geshmak, you don't remember how.
Now this idea is something that Rav Kook mentions in several places. There's a piska in Orot HaKodesh, Chilek Bet, Seif Kafchet, where Rav Kook talks about the time for building yourself. Yeah, here I brought some copies here. It's a short piska what we have tonight, so I figure that we could allow ourselves to see to see where Rav Kook elaborates a little on it. Hopefully this may sound a little familiar, because I think we learned it 3 years ago.
Okay.
But if to review something after 3 years isn't too bad. Okay, the idea of Havdalah v'Achlala, a time to divide and a time to be collective. A time to separate and to concentrate on yourself, and a time to give to others. That's exactly our topic. Shnei kavim ovrim lefanenu badrachat haklal v'aprat. Kav ha-mavdil v'kav ha-mechaber. Okay? Now, if we were to focus communism, which put the state at the top of the ladder, they stressed very much the kav ha-mechaber, the idea of the state, the collective, that everything is klali, and that the needs of the individual are very secondary, if not thirdary. That was a joke. On the other hand, the liberal or democracy puts the stress on the individual. Do your own thing. It was called in the 60s. Today it's what it's called self-expression or
self-fulfillment.
Self-fulfillment, mimu shatzmi. And that's the American dream, which puts nationalism and giving and altruism as second. Rav Kook says, Kav ha-mavdil hi-itkansuta ishit. The time for division is the time when we need to divide, to turn into ourselves. Shiba mitotzat ha-sheifa la-shlama ruchanit pnimit machshavtit v'ergeshit. We won't read the whole thing. Rav Kook is saying that man has a natural, godly need sometimes to be alone. What's called in Chassidut? Hitbodedut. Right? What do you call that in English?
Like self-reflection, meditation.
Yeah, meditation, to separate yourself, go out to the forest. Okay? And Reb Nachman of Breslov says that if you want to meet God, go out to the forest, because that's where you're going to meet yourself. That's where you're going to meet yourself. Meet your neshama, meet your godly self. Okay, so there is the time.
You tune everything else out.
Yeah. Badrachat haklal ba bimkoma havdala kitatit. Now, all of life is divisions, and there are many divisions. Not just, am I divided from everyone else? Am I unique? And everyone is unique. But also, havdalat shevet levi b'yesod ha'uma. Havdalat tekuna mitocho. Havdalat chaverim mi'amei ha'aretz, havdalat Yisrael mi'amim, havdalat ha'adam mikol beima v'achaya. The whole world is based on divisions. That man, that the Shvatim were separated into 12 tribes. And Shevet Levi, I thought of that also. If it was writing this today, I would imagine that he would add that example as well. The separating of Shevet Levi, separating of the Kohanim, even among Levi, separating Leviim, everyone has their own role. Separating of Amei Aretz, ignoramuses from the Talmidei Chachamim, and Bichlal, separating Israel from the nations, separating human beings from animals. Right, that's how Rav Kook in Chazon HaTzimchanut, when he talks about vegetarianism, explains why man was allowed to eat meat after the Mabul in order to make a very clear separation. These you eat, human beings you marry. You don't marry animals, you don't eat people, right? So Rav Kook also explains, Hu yeshuvcha rosh ve'ata teshuvenu akev, to split between the son of man and son of woman and the nachash, the snake. That's why the snake, who is closer to man, had to be totally separated. Walks around on his belly, eats dust. Again, the idea of man is godly, the nachash, the snake, is not. And that helps man realize his potential. Now, does that mean that man is disconnected from the animal world? Or the Jews are disconnected from Goyim? Or the Kohanim are disconnected from Leviim, or Leviim from Yisrael, or men from women? Right? Rav Kook goes on to say, mamash no. Aval betoch umka shel havdala zo hitchabrut v'hachlala gnuzoten kluloten bichlaluta. This is the punchline. That deep down inside the first stage Your first stage of life is to separate, to divide. And that way the Kohanim don't become diluted. Hare, what was the difference between the Bechorim and the Kohanim? I think everyone here is either a Kohen or Levi almost, right? Why, or what was the original plan? The Sefer HaChinuch explains, the original plan was that there be a Kohen in every house. The Bechor, the first, the firstborn was originally supposed to be the Kohen. But what was the problem? When the Kohanim are one out of seven children, 10 children, they're, as usual, the minority is more influenced by the majority rather than vice versa. And that's why God, after Chet HaEgel, after the sin of the golden calf, Rav Kook explains that, I believe that's in Otsrot Uriah, I think it's Rav Kook explains that, or maybe not, I'm not sure it's Rav Kook. The changing of gears, that having cities of Kohanim, cities of Levi'im, where they're separate. And from those cities, from those 48 cities of priests, they go around and teach Yeru Mishpatech Yaakov. They teach Am Yisrael. What's the idea? When you're concentrated, you don't become diluted. And then, when you do go out, you can influence the world. The same thing, Or LaGoyim, Yeshayahu, is always talking about Am Yisrael not living among Goyim to influence them, like Rav Shimshon, her father, turned the Bidiyevit into a Lechatchila, right? As if it's good to have Jews in the exile. We see very clear from the Tanakh, it's a curse. But the idea is that to be an or a light to the nations by concentrating all of that light in one place, so that from Zion will come the Torah. The same thing with Israel and the non-Jews. Yes, we do want to influence the world, the Gentiles, but not by living among them, not by marrying them. Having our country and our land and our culture, from here we influence. So that's the first stage. The first stage is division. I almost said separation. Rav Tzviuda used to say, this is the only thing I heard in French that he used to say, because he wanted to clarify it. He said, "Différenciation, c'est pas séparation. Differentiation is not separation." That's the whole point. Divide and differentiate, that's your first stage of life. Go to yeshiva. Right? You're not expected at the age of 18, 19, and 20 to start being makariv all of mankind. Right? That you need a time to build yourself, otherwise you won't have anything to give. What are you supposed to give? Right? But, Rav Kook stresses, already in the first stage of the Havdalah, of separating yourself to go to yeshiva, to go into the forest, to go into your cities of Kohanim, or all these divisions that we're talking about, deep within that first stage is already the second stage, Hitchabrut Vahachlala. Because the first stage is for the purpose of the second stage. I'll just skip to the last paragraph where he says it also very nicely. Vezoti nachalat Hashem b'chol derech hakodesh. This is the way of God in everything, in all holy ways. By the way, we're reading from Orot HaKodesh, volume 2, page 440. Hafrada al minat hitchabrut. This is what we're talking about. Division for the sake of unity. Okay, if you remember when we saw once in Olat Re'iyah, where Rav Kook gives the example of trees, that when you plant trees in an orchard, you plant them at least 4 meters apart from each other, which seems a real waste of ground. But the idea is that Davka, because they're so far apart, they're divided, each one gets enough water and enough nutrients and minerals and sunshine, so that when they grow, eventually they meet at the top. Okay, that's the idea also of Beit Hillel, Beit Shammai, Elevelu Divrei Elokim Chaim, that it's good to have distance to let the Hasidim develop their ideology, the Misnagdim develop their ideology, And that way, in the end, we see the greatness also of learning Torah and also of serving Hashem b'simcha. Okay, getting back to Einaya. Vine, we're on the fifth line. Yeshnam anashim shishchitu darkam afilu be'erech atzmam. But there are some people who do not achieve their potential and they ruin themselves according to their potential. They don't even live out the whole first half of their life. Again, the student, the scholar that died young, it doesn't say that he died young. It says he died in half of his days, inferring that there are those who don't even live to half of their days. Rav Kook is saying, Al zene emar, the pasuk in Tehillim 55, Anshei damim umirma, lo yechtzu yimehem. They, people of deceit and violent people, should not even reach half of their days. It's a beautiful diuk. It's a very famous pasuk, right?
They shouldn't reach the stage at which they're giving because what they have to give is bad.
Exactly, exactly. That those people shouldn't reach the state that they're giving, that they're influencing society, because they're going to make a lot more nezek, a lot more harm than good. Therefore, they don't even reach the second half. Okay.
And the thing about the young Talmid Chacham with his wife, that's because they didn't have the separation that didn't allow for the proper chibur.
Manian. I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if Rav Kook says that in the next paragraph. I haven't reviewed it in a long time, so I don't remember.
Okay.
But it's very possible because it's mamash connected
Sounds
with
right.
what he's
Sounds
saying
right.
here. This idea is something that we've seen many times in Rav Kook, and hopefully by this stage in your learning, the ideas begin to sound familiar and complete themselves. The idea of a ra mechale et atzmo, that evil undoes itself. Right? This is something that we've come across, if you remember, in Orota Milchama. I think I learned with you Orota Milchama way back, where Rav Kook writes about the violent nations who start the wars, the bullies who think that violence can run the world. They always get it in their face. It always boomerangs, and it's just a matter of time. And that's why all these gangsters, and they never live out their lives. And that's how Rav Kook is explaining the pasuk, that evil does itself out. Okay, those people are not even going to get to the second half of life.
Mm-hmm. Alexander the Great was a good example.
Okay. There's people today say it about, Rav Kook says it about families who don't want children. And today it's, I think, a lot more applicable than in his day. That, thank God, those families who aren't into giving and aren't into altruism, thank God they don't raise the next generation. And they undo themselves, right? And Omnam, Oto Talmid Chacham, Shelefi haraula atzmo hishlim chuko, but the hero of our story, who did reach the first half of life, as the Gemara says explicitly, he learned a lot. Vachisarona nimtzabo shebiglalo ayahu raula mut, who lo lefi ayrech shepaala davar al atzmo. The problem with him wasn't a personal problem with his learning. And that's why the first half of life, the idea of building himself, even building himself for many years, maybe even to the age of 35, he spent 35 years in yeshiva, that was okay. Ki im lefia erech shepu'ula shel hanaga kazot, me'adam rashum kaze, tuchal lifol al ha'atid, al ken haya ra'ui lechitzi amav. The problem, as Yehoshua said, was that we don't want this type of person who is not motivated enough to observe the rabbinical laws, to observe the siyagim.
Or he thinks he's too smart, or he thinks he's more clever than the rabbi.
Right, you remember what we said in one of the previous Gemaras about the rabbi who said, well, I can learn by the candlelight and I won't tilt it. And in the end, we saw, you know, he tilted it.
Saw the tilt sign light up.
Omnam, hamechtza hashniyah, Sha'avura Doraba, regarding what this young scholar had to give regarding the next generation, Bishvil Ashpa'a Sha'ra'uilo Lashpi'a L'Sovavimoto Val Bnei Adora Tzi'irim. Again, young people are very impressionable, and this person who is knowledgeable people are very impressing, very influential. Shamaya yachol latzit harisot gedolot lefi hayirida shel mekablim. Here, he's not living in his own sphere. And this is something very important. Teachers, educators, rabbis, parents do not live in a vacuum. And they have to take into account in everything that they do how it's going to be accepted by the students, by the followers, by those who are watching them, by the mikablim. Yitrachev peretz katan hamidgale b'mashpia. Very often, what appears as a small crack, a small pgam, a small, imperfection in the rabbi, in the teacher, when it's expressed by their students who follow him, who emulate him, right, maybe even copy him, they amplify it and it becomes a very, very serious problem. Rav Kook writes about this in Sefer Orot. In Orot, Paragimel, Piska Gimel, in the context of the importance of the nation of Israel. It's an unbelievable piska. Regarding the problem of Dveikut B'Tzadikim, you don't have it.
No,
I didn't. You know, that's mamash so... I just heard a story recently of the first two decisions of Agudat Yisrael. You all know that there was the first convention in Katowice that was right before World War I, where Agudat Yisrael really wasn't formed. The idea was to invite all of Orthodox Jewry, let's group together to battle all the Enlightenment and Reform, and everyone was invited. The modern, the right wing, the Hasidim, the Misnagdim, that's why it was in Katowice. Katowice is right on the border, right in between...
Germany and Poland?
Between a lot of different places. The kids are...
Whatever
it was accessible.
They, whatever they called them in those days, yeah.
It was very accessible.
On the railroad tracks.
Ironically, what were the first two decisions of Agudat Yisrael? And this is obviously when Rav Kook left Agudat Yisrael. Number one, they decided that you cannot have any kind of Jewish homeland or state before the coming of Messiah. In other words, we're strongly against Zionism. Number two, that Moetzet Gedolei HaTorah, the Torah scholars, they're the ones who will make all the decisions. Two, lichora, not connected anything with each other. Ironically, history decided that the two were very, very connected with each other. That the biggest mistake that rabbis ever made, and you know, we try to sweep it under the rug, was those leaders who told the masses of Jews in Europe to stay in Europe. The Holocaust is just another pogrom. Lower your head and it'll blow over. And without mentioning names, I heard recently unbelievable edut from a famous rabbi, those from America in the Torah world, probably, I'm sure Avi knows his name. I won't mention his name, but a very famous rabbi who was learning in Slobodka, and he asked one of the Gedolei Hador, who I won't mention his name, but really one of the super, super top people, what he should do, because his parents were forcing him to go back to America. They said, how can you stay in Europe? And his Rosh Yeshiva said, oy vavoy if you go to America. America is the Treifa Medina. And he had a ticket, and he had to decide, and he decided not to listen to his Rosh Yeshiva. And he's one of the few from that entire yeshiva that survived the Holocaust. And the chief of police at Kumam Dina. He was a Satmar Chassid.
I forgot his name.
You can Google it. The chief of the police at the beginning of the Gomel, the first chief of police, was a Satmar Chassid who left everything. And when the Satmar Rebbe visited Israel for the first time, he was born, he grew up a Satmar Chassid. I think his father was even a shamish of the Satmar Rebbe. And so he went to visit the Satmar Rebbe. And the Satmar Rebbe sees this police officer, obviously went in with a hat, but without a beard, without peyot. And the Satmar Rebbe recognized him right away.
Yeah.
No, he recognized him. He said, "Oi, if your father would see the way you are today, he'd be turning over in his grave." To which the chief of police answered, "If my father didn't listen to you,
he wouldn't be in his grave.
Right. He'd be here and he'd be seeing me. And maybe I would look like him and you." And we can't deny the fact that those two decisions of Agudat Yisrael are very connected. That even rabbis make mistake, and the first decision that you're not allowed to come home and to build the Zionist, God in history clearly told us that was wrong.
Healthy Jewish society differentiates between Kahuna and Malchut and
Yafa. Yafa. You've heard of Soloveitchik has a famous drasha on that.
Where is that?
I don't remember.
Okay.
I heard of Baal Peh. Most of Soloveitchik's things I heard from my teachers.
Yeah.
Anyway, Rav Kook says, what's the Hadvekut b'tzadikim, sticking, cleaving to the tzadikim. Tzadikim is a code name for the rabbeim, the Hasidic rabbanim. Kedei sheitarev koach hametziyut shebenishmatam im haneshama bilti nishlemet hi davar nechbad ma'od b'malach hitpatchut hanefashot. Tavka, we're talking about building yourself. Rav Kook says here one of the most important parts of building yourself is to learn from Talmidei Chachamim.
Well, not only Hasidic, I mean, it's a generic,
right.
Generic term.
Yeah, but the idea of the tzaddik, yeah. Copying the tzaddik, emulating the tzaddik, especially in Hasidut.
Yeah.
Aval tzarich shmira gedola. Rav Kook says you gotta be very careful. She'im yit'eh betzaddik echad, v'idbak bo dvekut pnimit havayatit, v'idabek gam ken b'chesronotav. Hari, nobody's perfect. Nobody's infallible. Right? The Catholics believe in infallibility. Judaism doesn't.
Only up to a certain point, yeah.
Right? And the mistaken understanding of the second decision of Agudat Yisrael, which is almost saying that the rabbis are infallible, Rav Kook is saying, the problem is everybody has chisronot, has a imperfection, right? It's a pasuk. In adam ba'aretz asher yaseh tov v'lo yechta. There's nobody who doesn't make mistakes. Hem yif'alu lifamim ala devik b'mida gru'a harbei mima shem po'alim ala isha mekori. The problem is when students emulate their Rebbe, inevitably, students who are on a lower level, on a more popular level, especially when they're younger and cynical, they mamash pick up the negative aspects of the Rebbe.
Yeah.
I remember the classic example is Rav Meir Kahana, who was a very big Talmid Chacham, a very big idealist. But you look at a lot of his followers and a lot of his students who, instead of talking about Ahavat Yisrael, love of Israel, they put the stress on
violence.
A hate of Arabs or violence, which is found in Rav Kahana. You can't say that he didn't stress it more than any other rabbi in our generation. Yes, he did. But nevertheless, when you look at him in the whole picture, that violence or that sinah of Goyim has a very clear place. And is not blown out of proportion. In his followers, it's very clearly blown out of proportion. Right? I'll give another example.
You guys with a very sharp, sarcastic sense of humor that was a caricature of Rav Soloveitchik.
Right? Or even Rav Soloveitchik's original thinking, which some of his students took it a lot more original and a lot more liberal than Rav Soloveitchik. And I know when you talk about sarcasm, a very big Talmid Chacham, a very popular, influential speaker, who has a lot of students, has that sarcastic bit towards rabbis. You know, like Rav Kook is talking about here. But if you say it in one piska out of entire book, right, that you have to be careful with the shortcomings of rabbis, he would play it up sometimes. And his students, they're very cynical, and they don't like any other rabbis except their rabbi.
There's a lot of Hasidim and Talmidim that will do that about, that will dump on all the other rabbis. Uh-huh. That's very common. That's not just that particular rabbi.
Right. The end of the Piska, Ashrehem Yisrael. Happy or lucky, in America, not luck, but
fortunate
is the people of Israel. Shem dvekim benishmat ha'uma. Shitov muchlat. Lishov al yada or Hashem atov. Am Yisrael does not emulate one rabbi or one teacher. We emulate the nation of Israel. We emulate God. God is perfect. The Torah is perfect. Am Yisrael is perfect. And that's why if a certain rabbi has a certain shortcoming, so that trait you learn from another rabbi. Okay? In getting back to our young rabbi who died in half his days, Rav Kook is saying, he's explaining what does it mean he died in half his days. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want him to start influencing others. Because that small imperfection that we'll see regarding him and his wife will become very amplified in his students.
In our day with the, you know, the extreme positions in both directions with regard to this particular subject.
Yeah. Especially if you remember that young people have a tendency to be extreme. Students have a tendency to be extreme. And again, that's another aspect of what Rav Kook is saying. Al kein mit b'chatzi yamav lemantit makom limud lezulato lasur mimokshei mavet v'lalechet ba'orach hayim. This enabled those students who may have learned from him, who may have emulated him, to avoid those pitfalls. The mokshim are, in modern Hebrew, landmines. V'lalechet ba'orach hayim, to go in the way of life. Because the idea is life. The Torah is a way of life. And if a student isn't giving life, the living Torah over, then it's better off that he live in the world to come, not in this world.
Yeah.